What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another pay-per-view point edition of the Smart Guy Moment Smack Talk podcast. If you didn't get enough from WrestleMania week, we got another one right around the corner because AEW Dynasty is coming up this weekend. So we're going to break down the card of what we know currently right now, Tuesday afternoon, 8 matches. So we're going to give our predictions for those two. What do we think is going to be added to the card? What are we hyped about? What do we think is falling short? All those kind of things we normally do. And if you don't know who we are, I'm Tony Mango, joined as always by Robert DeFelice.
Hello.
With a little bit of a delay. And Callum Wiggins.
Hello.
And that makes 3 of us. All right, we're not going to do it the entire time. But we are, of course, going to be giving our thoughts on AEW Dynasty. And we also want to know what you have to think about this, what I have to say. You can chime in on the comment section below on YouTube. While you're over there, click on that like button. Click on the share button as well. Click on the subscribe button if you haven't already. Ring that little notification bell that's right next to that too, so that way you get those email alerts of when we go live for the post show immediately following this pay-per-view, as we always do. And of course, you could also click on the join button, which gives you access to the same stuff as the Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/smartoutmoment, or if you're on the YouTube channel membership, you have the Darkcast tier, you have the Pick a Poison tier. Even a buck a month helps us keep the lights on. You can also click the thanks button. That is another little tip jar option. Redbubble and TeePublic are where you can pick up merchandise to help us out. Whether it's a Mango Tee, Smart Cow Moment, or Fanboys Anonymous, it all funnels the pennies back to me. That happens when it comes to these websites and stuff. But that's all something that helps out, so we appreciate any kind of support that you guys can give us. Also, keep in mind, you can join the Discord if you don't just want to chat it up in the comments below, but you want to keep a different kind of discussion going, or you want to be a part of the other discussions that are going on, like live discussions during the TV shows, or pay-per-views, or we technically have a Fanboys Anonymous side of that thing, too, and also join the Discord if you're into that. And keep in mind, of course, that as we go along here and we give our opinions about stuff, and you give yours, we'll come back around to this down the line with the hot tags for any kind of changes that are going to happen for the Picard. We have not obviously seen Dynamite yet since it hasn't aired. And then they're going to obviously pre-tape some stuff when it comes to Rampage and all. So there may be changes to this card by the time we come around to Friday.
Rampage is live on Saturday.
Saturday live? Really? Man, they are not sticking to a schedule for like more than a week or so lately, haven't they? All the year, it seems like it's been bouncing around.
They do this every year with the sports.
Crazy. I hate that. Well, they'll be doing at least what they do on Dynamite by the meantime that we get around to Friday. So by the hot tags, we might have some more matches to add onto like a supplemental pay-per-view point section of this. But there are 8 matches currently announced, currently set up. And then the question, of course, I always have at the beginning of this, what do you think is going to be added to the card outside of those 8 matches? The first thing I can think of is the whole Bang Bang Scissor Gang implosion. And maybe it's not necessarily a unification match. Maybe it is. I don't know. But the Trios Championships between the Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed seem like one of the only things that's missing from this card that I can think of, at least.
Yeah, I think it would be a good match to add to the card, and I think Bang Bang Scissor, Bang Bang Gang should win it. And I don't know, I think everybody's pretty much unanimously ready to see the Acclaimed go away for a little while and maybe get a singles run from Bowens. But yeah, I think that would be a good match to add to the card.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that one gets added, that we're building it up for a little bit, so... So yeah, I think that I'd agree with Rob that if a match does happen, the title should go to the Bullet Club Gold.
Mm-hmm. Same here. And, especially if they end up having... do we know the timetable of when Juice is back?
No, but it's been a while, so I hope it's soon that he comes back.
Yeah, both for his sake, for the Bullet Club Gold, and also the fact that his wife's been stolen from him, secretly as well. but I think that's pretty that would be good to see him pop up to help get the victory, because they're gonna probably need 3 guys to take down Billy Gunn on his own.
And the eye is deceptively huge, so other than that, there's nothing that screams out to me as like a guarantee, or I mean, that's not obviously a guarantee either, but like, there's nothing that really sparks to me as like, okay, well, they're obviously going to add this. Because it seems to me like, I mean, an 8-match card, if we throw that in there as like the 9th match, that's already a full card.
So, yeah, but they always do 14 matches. So I'm guessing Jericho and Hook are going to do something, whether it's a tag, whether it's a singles. You know, Shirakawa should absolutely be in a match where at some point she kisses Mariah May. That's a thing that would probably be added to the 0 hour.
Yeah, 0 hour is where most of the matches, I think, would be added.
Maybe Azumi versus Mina Shirakawa, you know? Maybe a tag match scenario in that way.
I would think more of a tag than...
I would like to see Mercedes Moné shut the hell up and get in the ring. But she's already said that she's wrestling at Double or Nothing. And granted, it's wrestling. You can always change your mind. But I'd like to see her get in the ring before then.
Yeah, I don't think that the attack angle is going to lead to a match being announced on this particular card.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd hope that he'd be able to keep his nose out of it, but I think Jericho's probably going to get a match on the show.
Probably. And more than likely, like Rob just said, like something involving Hook, maybe some kind of, you know, tag match or something.
Yeah, but we'll see from that side of things. Just if there'd be anything else that would be that noteworthy. I mean, maybe if they want to push forward the Orange Cassidy-Trent Barretta match.
That's an option. Maybe getting some of the other people that are involved in the Don Callis family into something. Maybe another thing for like the Blackpool Combat Club people that aren't already in a match, like Brian Danielson. Just to showcase like, hey, Moxley's got that belt, you know?
Takeshita versus Moxley. Because Moxley did take out Danielson. Takeshita did take out Danielson.
I was going to say, holy shit, did I miss that? What the hell?
Moxley's coming back. It's a big match, but you could just say it's a title defense. And I think there's not a damn person in the world.
They won't do that.
The defense of it?
Yeah, because they've already announced that Moxley's next challenger is in Japan.
That's right, for Wrestling Dantaku.
And they do not, as soon as New Japan announced something, they do not change the card unless it's absolutely vital that they do so. So the fact that he's announced he's facing Ren Narita for the title means that he's facing Ren Narita for the title, and they won't do anything to jeopardize it, even risk the idea of jeopardizing it, even though he would defend his title in AEW and wouldn't lose it there. They wouldn't even consider it right to do so.
I mean, they could always go in a non-title match. They could always go with the...
Oh yeah, Moxley could have a non-title match, definitely.
Mox and Claudio were the number 3 ranked tag team. They could always face Takeshita and Hobbs.
I think that even a match like involving those guys, though, at this point with 8 matches already on the card and potentially 9 with the trios, they're running the risk of, you know, putting too much on the 0 hour that they probably would also just be better off putting on Dynamite or Collision or anything along those lines.
Has that ever stopped
them? It hasn't really, but if you look at some other pay-per-views in the past, a lot of the matches that they just throw in past that 7 or 8 mark are stuff that you would just see, like, you know, Top Flight against somebody or whatever, like not necessarily like the absolute biggest names that they have. So I think big name wise, we might be kind of packed already. And that's not including just pack. But the options are there if they do want to announce, like, say, Trent against Orange Cassidy or something. But I kind of assume that outside of those trios titles, we're probably going to get some filler for the 0 hour that isn't necessarily going to be the biggest names that are out there.
The more I think about it, the more I think Moxley's definitely wrestling, and Takeshita probably is as well, because if you have Mox available, why wouldn't you put him in the ring?
Which matches are announced for this week's Dynamite so far?
There's going to be Mariah May versus Deonna Purrazzo. Claudio versus Will Ospreay. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. It's on my head.
Mox is going to appear. Joe appears. Swerve appears. a lot of that is filling out this card, but I can tell you in a second.
Renee's going to address the mystery attacker.
And Hook and Jericho are going to have some kind of brokered meeting with Taz. Maybe it's Jericho signs adoption papers. I don't know.
And there's the Adam elite Copeland are and Willow Pac. Against Julia and Brody, that one.
Oh, yeah.
And the Elite are going to face Pac, Garcia, and Penta.
Yeah, so a pretty average go-home show. Drive home some of the feuds for some of the things that are already scheduled and then get some people wrestling in the meantime. Yeah. So nothing that's like huge game changer types of things, other than possibly if Moxley's return has something to do with.
I imagine Moxley's return is going to lead to some type of match announcement.
And then, of course, we already talked about the idea of Hook and Jericho. So, date matches that are currently announced, though, start breaking those down. No particular order, I guess. I don't know. Let's go Roderick Strong defending the AEW International Championship against Kyle O'Reilly. This is one of those, like, yeah, of course, type of matches. And it's very, you know, as soon as Kyle O'Reilly came back and didn't quite just, you know, warm himself up to the Undisputed Kingdom, it was like, they're going to fight at some point. The match is going to be great. I don't know if I would put the belt on Kyle O'Reilly. I think that it's a little too early to just switch it immediately off of Roderick Strong. But at the same time, there's a part of me that's like, man, this Undisputed Kingdom sucks, so I'd be fine with it, you know?
I hate how this angle has gone down, this Undisputed Kingdom. But, you know, I love Roddy, you know, I love Kyle, so, you know, this is my favorite match booked for this card. I hope they give them all the time in the world, and I hope they have a great classic wrestling match that can really, you know, get this title wind underneath it again after, you know, the Cassidy had the great run and then it flip-flopped a couple times. But I love this. I would give it to Kyle because I'm so laser focused right now in wrestling. I'm just fucking give him the belt. Just look, we don't need these long drawn out reigns. Grant, I'm not saying Roddy's had that, but I'm just saying I think all of wrestling could use some more hot potato.
I'm interested to see how this match goes. But on paper, it should be fantastic, considering two people involved and how well they know each other and how well they've worked together as a tag team as well as opponents in the past. But Kyle's still on his way back, getting some ring rust off after that very long injury absence. So he hasn't been going at 100% just yet. Roderick's a good guy to help bring it out of him. But I don't necessarily know if I'd go with Kyle winning just yet. I mean, I think that if Kyle was 100%, I would say definitely switch it already, even though Strong hasn't had a long title reign just yet. I think O'Reilly switching up with the Continental title would help freshen, would just add a bit of excitement. Like, oh, titles can just change hands immediately in AEW, whereas like both in AEW, WWE, in a lot of places, there is, as Rob says, there is a tendency to, as soon as someone's title, think, okay, they're going to have like a 3 to 6 month reign or something. And whereas, oh, it might actually be more interesting if someone wins title after Roderick's only held it for like a month and a half or so. And I think that it would lead towards, I don't necessarily mean that Kyle O'Reilly would have like a super long reign for himself. He could drop it straight back to Strong or drop it to someone else pretty quickly. But I think that, yeah, I say I'm looking forward to the match. I think they'll put something good together. And yeah, I say if it was up to me, I'd probably go with O'Reilly. But it just depends on if they feel comfortable enough with him yet to be like, okay, he's ready to be in the title picture with a title which has been well known for being like, it's defended pretty regularly and all the guy that's holding it is wrestling pretty regularly. If not, then just keep it on Strong for a while. Because there's also the Wardlow factor they have to keep in mind, because Wardlow has been specifically instructed by Adam Cole to help them, any member of the Undisputed Kingdom that has a title, to keep hold of that title. So presumably he'll get involved in some way in this match.
Yeah, I think that it's a lot easier to book a scenario where Strong retains because Kyle O'Reilly put up a really, really good fight and basically had the match won until something happened where the rest of the people come in and kind of screw him over. rather than to just switch the belt already. And then what do you do with the Undisputed Kingdom at that point? It's like, we're a bunch of beaten up failures that can't do anything right. Like,
I don't get me wrong, I'd be totally down for this faction just ending.
Oh, yeah.
This result is fine because it's going bad. I mean, yeah, it's going pretty badly, but presumably what the whole basis of this is, just how it's been presented so far, is that Wardlow's going to keep doing Adam Cole's bidding, but get no credit for it from either Adam Cole or anyone else on the team, and then he's going to beat everyone in the Undisputed Era and then beat Adam Cole, and then we've got another Wardlow push in our hand.
Yeah, I'm just thinking now, I think the idea might be maybe Wardlow keeps doing this, and then when Max comes back, he just kind of helps Max, and not like in a bodyguard way, but you know how, like, okay, once Diesel and Sean eventually became friends, like they were just friends, maybe they can be that for AEW, because honestly, that was the best thing Wardlow ever did, and everything Wardlow's done since has kind of sucked. Everything the Undisputed Kingdom has done has absolutely sucked, and I love them. But, like, you know, this isn't like some anti-AEW bias. For any first-time listeners, obviously, regulars know. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan of anything with this faction, unfortunately, even though it was, like, going to be my favorite thing ever, and it just fell apart.
There really seems to be, like, it's for them. I mean, it's not every single case, but for the most part, a faction in AEW either sounds like a really good idea and it just flat out works, like Blackpool Combat Club, or it sounds like this is a no-brainer and just tanks, like Pinnacle or Undisputed Kingdom. Like,
specifically when I like it, it just ends up tanking.
But I mean, essentially it's getting to the point where if Adam Cole's involved, it's not working.
You know, that's an interesting point. And I was thinking to myself today, I can't believe he's been in that company for 3 years already.
I did, actually, as much as I would hate to admit it, I'd actually toss out MJF as well. Because
I put a lot of the kind of the ill feeling towards AEW in the back half of 2023, both squarely at those guys' feet. I think that they were both. But the second half of MJF's title run, which coincided with the Brochacho's gimmick, was the thing that kind of, I think, turned a lot of people off of AEW. And I think that's the thing outside of, you know, all the brawl-in, brawl-out stuff. I think that's the thing creatively, I think, that they're recovering from the most.
But I would put more, bias aside, I'd still put more of that on Max, because it's not like Adam Cole can't just be Ring of Honor guy having, you know, what people would call an indie-rific match. Like, Adam Cole can do that.
I'd also say that MJF, in the weeks or months prior to it, had arguably the match of the year against Bryan Danielson, and also had a really great Fatal 4-Way match against the other four pillars, and then and then it all went off the rails.
It's like saying, yeah, but, you know.
And Adam Cole before that was injured and had a shitty feud with Chris Jericho.
Granted, I'll grant you that, but I'd also say you can't pull the Danielson match against anybody because he's fucking Danielson.
Adam Cole would give him a run for the money in this current form.
You know,
Adam Cole would have the one bad Bryan Danielson match.
I would like to see that match.
Maybe it's time we admit that Adam Cole's not that good.
No, I'm not going to admit that, because he had a great run.
No, he was just a flash in the pan in WWE's third tier promotion, and that's kind of it, really.
No.
He rejects your premises.
You know what? Edge isn't that great either. But I'm joking. Just go after everyone. Just go after everyone, Rob Light.
Well, unfortunately for me, I mean, I just had to say it with Mercedes. Mercedes is my favorite women's wrestler of all time. And I'm just sort of like, get the fuck in the ring. What do you do? What is this?
Mm-hmm. Restore the feeling.
So I'm definitely, I'm unfortunately not immune to having to bash my own favorites these days.
I'll say that, like, obviously the way that we're directing this conversation towards the failures of the Undisputed Kingdom and all, Not to be a downer on this card, because there is obviously there's a ton of talent on this card. Like, you just look at these names and it's like, all right, yeah, pretty much every single person that's involved is a quality performer. I do kind of feel like it's sort of just like a, you know, B-level type of pay-per-view and stuff where, yeah, this isn't Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing's most likely going to be a bigger deal. But I don't look at this as like, this is going to probably change things around. I think it's just going to be a fine show. And, you know, I mean, it's not like that's a bad thing to just have like, yeah, it's a good wrestling show. But I don't think that this is going to be some kind of like, all right, this is where we sparked a big, like, we got back on track type of a thing. And I think we're looking at like many months in the future to sort of figure out the rest of this Undisputed Kingdom thing, figure out where some other people lay, reset some titles, you know. Like, I don't think anybody going into this pay-per-view expecting, especially following after WrestleMania, where such a big emphasis was put on, it's the start of a new era. Like, Dynasty's not going to be a start of a new era in AEW. It's just going to be a solid show. So I'm going into it with that kind of expectation of, like, this isn't...
But that's also the problem. Not the problem. That's the wrong word to use. But that's also the energy you're now going to get when you realize, okay, it's no longer that quarterly vibe of, oh my God, here comes Revolution. You know, like, these shows are happening more frequently, which means you're going to feel more of that, okay, this is a solid B show.
Yeah, the way that WWE eventually, they used to have just the big four, and then you started to get in your house, and in your house was like, a big thing could happen once in a while there. A lot of times, not necessarily on their planning, but hey, we got to switch the title because somebody's injured or something. And then, you know, eventually you got into the point where it was like, all right, Backlash is a B-level pay-per-view. Backlash coming up too, when we talk about that in a couple weeks, that's not going to be like the biggest game changer either. So anybody that's like super going to be down on AEW for not having WrestleMania immediately after WrestleMania, I think you got to temper your expectations a little bit too. So at least when it comes to Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, I'm expecting the match to be good. Like, I'm down for that. And I would be cool with either of them winning. So that makes me happy.
I mean, having said all of that, I would probably, just looking at the card as face value, I think that this has the potential to be one of the best pay-per-views AEW's ever done.
Just as far as like bell-to-bell action?
Yeah, but that's all I care about when it comes to AEW side of it. So, like, I don't really care if there's like any sort of like big special announcement, or is there's going to be anything that like changes the game for AEW, or it's like there's a big angle in any of the matches. I just want to see great matches, and I think we'll get, at least in 7 out of the 8 of these cases, I think we'll get great matches, or have the potential to have great matches.
What are you guys?
Yeah, I think
good.
I think this show will have at least one contender for a match of the year. But that's just the vibe with AEW shows. You know, like, we are now in a genuine rhythm of, okay, we know what we get with AEW. If WWE sticks to this pattern that they're kind of trying to form, we will know what we're going to get from there. And then it's just a matter of, you know, your mileage may vary depending on who you are. But that being said, this is going to be a banger, and I'm going to say Roddy keeps it. But I wouldn't be sad at all if Kyle won.
What's your ultimate pick, Callum?
I think I'll go with Roddy winning thanks to Wardlow interference.
I'm going to go Roderick Strong retaining. Yeah, I think that, yeah, when in doubt, keep the belt on the champion. Let's bounce around to, I guess, kind of another just like, the champion's going to retain. It's going to be a good match. It's for another one of the mid-card, one of the three mid-card titles. Pac challenging Kazuchika Okada. Okada's not losing that belt right now. That would be absurd. So they have a good match. Pac loses. There you go.
I mean, I'd say they have the only thing I'd heard about that is I think they have a great match and Pac loses. But yeah, I can't see a world where this match isn't anything but like spectacular, especially because it's going to be pay per view Okada rather than TV Okada, and so they're going to go 20 plus minutes, and well, because actually they'll go maybe 20 plus minutes because that's the usual pace that Okada would go through his more traditional New Japan style matches, and I think they'll try and do the same here because Pac is more than capable of keeping up with him from that regard. And yeah, I think they'll have a great match and Okada retains. Simple as.
Yeah, I think it'll be an excellent match. And Okada retains because we forget because he's been so start-stop because COVID and things, but Pac was brought in as like a top guy in this promotion, you know? And he's had great matches from the very beginning. And this could be another one of those moments. I just wish I could feel like the title was in jeopardy.
I don't mind sometimes when I know that the title's not in jeopardy if it's the start of a new reign. And, you know, I mean, like, if he would have been up against somebody who is, you know, a garbage wrestler, then it would be like, oh, come on. Now I can't even, like, watch a good match that I know the outcome for. Pac's a good challenger for Okada to just start things slow and, you know, start getting some wins under his belt. He's only, you know, been in the company for, what, like, a month and a half or so? Like, it's not been long. So, to not go straight to immediately, okay, it's like him against Ospreay. Crap, who's going to win? It's okay for now, for me. It's when we start getting into, like, if he's up against somebody that's kind of on that C tier when we get to, like, All Out, I'm going to be like, all right, good, come on. Let's start getting him some kind of, like, real worthwhile challengers. But they're just, you know, I'm down to see this match. And that's a good thing. The TBS title's not on the line, or the TNT title's not on the line, the other of the three mid-card titles. But there is just a trios match. This, I can't say I'm as fond of the previous two. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe. Oh, God, what did he call them on Dynamite? He gave them, like, some kind of a name that was, like, silly.
The rated R Chicken Kings or something?
So, something. It's something silly. Weird. They're going up against the House of Black. I would assume coming out of this that if you've got a champion in Adam Copeland who's doing these open challenges and doesn't have his title defended on this card and, you know, is in the mix with some other guys, that they should lose by proxy of somebody establishing themselves as his next challenger. So I'm going with House of Black here, but I don't know who I would actually say is like the standout for that, because it seems like it would be, Malakai.
This man has had one match, one or two singles matches.
It could be Malakai, but it could also be that there's some kind of an issue with Eddie Kingston. I could see that happening too.
I mean, if it was my choice, it would be Brody King wins this one for his team, and he's the one that gets the shot at Copeland, because I think that Malakai is like fine, but Brody's always been the one out of the group that impresses me the most. But I think the likelihood is that they'll get the victory, and then the House Black will get the victory, and then you'll have Malakai gets a pin on Kingston or something and challenges Adam Cole on an episode of Dynamite or Collision in the next couple of weeks for the title. I think that's fine to use a match on pay-per-view to build up a match on a bigger match on TV, because you'd always have to keep the thing flowing. You can't just do all the good stuff on pay-per-view and then leave nothing for television. So, yeah, I say this match will just be pretty decent. I don't think it'll be out of this world, but House Black do have a tendency that when they are a trios to put really, really good matches together. Know how good the babyface team can be and how good Adam Copeland has been since he joined AEW. So, yeah, I expect if as long as House Black are motivated, or at least 2/3 of them are motivated, then it should be a really good match.
I wonder which 2/3 you're talking
about. The one that isn't Brody King.
I think it'll be fun, but at the same time, I know we just put out an article on Fightful from Edge saying it feels like he's got about a year and a half left, and I know this is probably one of his like fun, I want to have a fun match thing, but I'm also like, all right, what stories are you going to tell? I realized, unfortunately, language like that has been beaten to death from idiots on the internet, but I do want to see him tell as many fun stories on the way out as possible, because that damn final year of his in WWE was garbage, and I just want to erase it as much as possible.
What do you think could be the story coming out of this?
I mean, I think it should be Malakai. We've seen that Edge, for whatever reason, really likes to play into the, hey, remember I was in the Brood for like 6 months? He has enjoyed doing that. So I guess we'll see where we go. But I'm also thinking, not that I'm clamoring for more of them, but where's Christian?
His whole family disappeared
from TV. You know, and I wonder when they're going to pick that up again, if that's going to have anything to do with Edge, or if it's just going to be like, you know, maybe the patriarchy's done. I don't know.
I think it's okay to give some people a bit of time off.
Oh, for sure. I'm just saying, like, that's eventually going to have to be heated up again. And you know they're going to want to get to Edge and Christian as a tag team. And I'm just wondering how much space is there in between these stories till we get there?
I personally think they're going to be not entirely, but fairly divergent paths for the time being, where Adam Copeland's focusing on defending the TNT Championship, continuing his like Cope Open stuff and defending against a variety of different challenges, because he says he's only got like a year and a half left to go. Then I imagine he pretty much wants to face anybody and everybody that he can before calling it quits. And in the meantime, Christian Cage and the Patriarchy will probably go after another title or get into a feud with someone else, which eventually leads to then turning on Christian and the reunification with Copeland, which happens probably later in the year at some point. So we do get that final tag team title run.
As you said that, I thought about a way that it could happen that, you know, maybe with a certain scapegoat coming back around, but
maybe he becomes more of a part of the, like, yeah, I needed your fatherly advice.
No, but I'm looking forward to this particular match. It's just one of those things where, and not that Callum is wrong in any way, you do need matches like this. Can't always be title match. But it's kind of like, okay, this is not a standout match for him on this card. And the reason I'm so focused on Adam is because the rest of them have more time and more to their careers. But it should be fun. I'm going to say House of Black wins. Malakai pins Edge.
I don't know if I had said it. I'm also going to go House of Black. Kyle, you're going in House of Black too, right?
Yeah, House of Black wins, yeah.
So then let's switch over to some of the women's matches. We've got Julia Hart defending the TBS championship in a House Rules match against Willow Nightingale. As far as I'm aware, Julia Hart's injury seems like it's like, all right, it's not something to be really concerned about, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, she's wrestling, so
she's at least booked to wrestle tonight, yeah. Or tomorrow night.
And she wrestled on Rampage against Layla Hirsch as well. So she's having matches. But I think her performances have not so much dipped a little bit, but it's clear that she's working through something, I think. So I think now is as good a time as any to belt up Willow Nightingale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had said before a couple weeks ago that I didn't think that it was necessarily a guarantee and that I could see something happening with like Chris Statlander interfering and costing Willow, and then having Willow against Statlander, and then Julia Hart drops the TBS title to Mercedes. But I kind of feel like sometimes you just got to go the simpler route. Just put the belt on Willow, have Willow versus Mercedes. Maybe Willow beats Mercedes even, but even if Willow loses the belt pretty quickly and drops it to Mercedes, it could be in a heel turn fashion. They could do something with the Statlander thing too again. I think that if Julia's got some sort of injury, whatever it might be, maybe it's just simpler to just take the belt off of her now.
Yeah, I mean, either way, even if she's healthy, Willow deserves this. She's worked her ass off.
Yeah, I mean, Willow's does excellent work. She's one of the best wrestlers they have. I think it'd be a big moment for her to win the title on this show and then to have a bit of a stare down with Mercedes. They might do like a whole angle based around the fact that she might suspect that Willow was the one that took Mercedes out in that backstage segment. I think they really need to utilize the opportunity of that fact they'll face each other, just going with the idea that Willow wins and they'll be facing each other at Double or Nothing for the TBS Championship, that's where you turn Mercedes heel fully on Willow, because you can't turn Willow heel on Mercedes. They just won't accept it. And then, yeah, I think that it's also going to be like some kind of conflicting stories here in a good way, because you have that going on, and then you obviously have Chris Statlander seemingly on the turn as well against Willow Nightingale. So I think Willow's about to have quite a lot of enemies come up against her, but that's good. She should be a focal point, and being the TBS champion puts her in that position.
Do you guys feel it's a little bit too much at the same time? That maybe they should have waited until one of the either Mercedes or Statlander things was over with to start the next one?
No, I love this. This is the way I prefer my wrestling stories to be told. I think it's better when there's a lot of enemies and there's a lot of targets, and for whatever reason, you know, we don't see a lot of that anymore. So I like when there's stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the sign of a really top level wrestler is someone who has multiple people going after them at the same time. And I think putting Willow in that position would work well for her as well. I think you could tell in multiple different ways. You could have like the Mercedes and Willow match. You could have Mercedes like win in an underhanded way to fully turn heel. You could have Chris Statlander turn on Willow there and Mercedes takes advantage. So Mercedes isn't quote unquote technically heel, but she took the opportunity that was presented to her, and then you branch off into a Willow and Chris Statlander feud while Mercedes does a bit of like just touring around with the TBS title to face a variety of different challenges rather than just focusing on her and Willow for a while, and then eventually go back to a Willow and Mercedes match down the line. So yeah, I think it's actually good that Willow has got like her hands in multiple different stories right now.
So I think all three of us are going Willow then, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're 3-for-3 on all three.
All three. Let's see if we can continue going on with this with the Timeless Toni Storm title defense against Thunder Rosa, AEW Women's World Championship, which I am just, you know, I'm not interested in seeing the way that I wasn't interested in seeing it before. They haven't really done anything that made me think, well, okay, now that time's passed, I'm down to revisit this, or that like the dynamics changed enough for me. It's just a rehash in slightly different fashion from what we had before. So I'm just going, all right, Toni Storm retains, moving on. I got nothing to break down for it. It's not my thing. We doing 4-for-4? Everybody going Toni Storm retaining?
I hope that there's more with Mina and Mariah and Toni, but yeah, I don't think Thunder's winning.
Yeah, I mean, I think Toni Storm is retaining the championship here, but yeah, I mean, I quite enjoyed the different kind of evolution that Toni Storm's character has taken in this current last couple of weeks or so, with the whole, okay, now the Mariah thing is a lot more possessive and a lot more romanticized than it previously was. It's no longer just like an idol and her young student. It's now, okay, now they kind of are into each other. But then there's also Mina Shirakawa, who's into Mariah, and Mariah seems to be into Mina Shirakawa. So there's kind of a lot of things going into it.
The point is that Mariah May has her pick. And I think Toni just wants the attention. But
I think Toni is, they're trying to push the idea that Tony's jealous, and so she's gotten so much more possessive over Mariah because now Mina Shirakawa's in the picture. I think that Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa makes a lot of sense for Double or Nothing. They'll obviously need to have Miniature Kyle wrestle matches on Dynamite or in AEW for that to really happen, because she's completely unranked because she hasn't had a match in AEW yet. But I'm sure they have plenty of time to build that up by the time Double or Nothing comes around. And then in that match, we'll see what side Mariah chooses. Maybe they even make her like special referee for that match to make it a bit more fun. But yeah, Thunder Rosa won't. Thunder Rosa being champion kind of impedes that problem. So it impedes that happening. So I think that you need to have her lose here. But I think she's done a decent enough job since coming back. I think she's wrestling pretty well. And she cut a really good promo on Collision for the match with Tony Storm. So she's tried to add a bit more urgency into this one, but I just don't think that it's the right moment for her. She's clearly heading towards a feud with Deonna Purrazzo as well. So,
where do you think Purrazzo ends up kind of going next? Because one of the things that I've seen tossed around there that I'm like, you know, this could make a lot of sense, is that Purrazzo's big, like, well, you failed to win the title, but we need to give you something, would be the Owen Hart Cup.
They could give her.
Yeah, that's probably Owen Hart.
I don't think that it's like it'll be a given. I think she'll go far in the tournament. I don't know if she'd necessarily win it. I just don't think that Purrazzo's performances are kind of merited enough of a push that high. So the Owen Hart Cup's not the end, like, wouldn't be like, there's no real title or super grandeur attached to it, because the people that have won it haven't gone on to do anything like super special after they've won it. So yeah, they could do that, but I think they're still building up the idea that Ruby Soho's going to win it this year, because she came close the last two times that she's tried to go for it, and they're still trying to tell the story of, like, she hasn't won anything in AEW yet. So I think they'll come back around and she'll win it this year.
So then we're 4-for-4 on that front of those belts changing hands. But we know titles have to change hands for the vacated AEW World Tag Team titles. It's a ladder match to settle that tournament. We're getting FTR and the Young Bucks. We're getting the spillover of what happened with this past whole fiasco with the brawling footage. And I think one of the lingering things to talk about, of course, is the whole Cash Wheeler legal issues, which I would pretty instinctively just be like, all right, well, then you don't give the belts to them. And if FTR won before, all signs seem to point to the Young Bucks winning this to me. It's not the most, you know, set in stone guarantee 100% has to be them, but I feel like that is as close to a guarantee for any match that's happening on this card compared to, you know, some of the other ones. It's going to be a good match, of course. Like, there's no debate about that. FTR and Young Bucks work really well together. Ladder matches are super fun. And I'm kind of just more curious where they go with how much they push more of the all-in stuff, or how much that they backtrack and just kind of go like, okay, that was a one-week thing. We're going to do our heel shtick without that. Or if they end up just getting like massive CM Punk chance during this. How you guys feeling about this match?
I'm looking forward to it. I think that the ladder match, although not necessarily needing to have a ladder associated with this match to make it good, I think it at least adds a different dynamic to this, because we have seen them have three traditional tag team matches beforehand, so this adds a little bit of difference to it. I think they can play into the idea that the Bucks have arranged it to be a ladder match because it feels like that gives them the advantage over FTR, because they are more ladder specialists than FTR are. So yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think they'll outcome is in crow spots with the ladder. I think that also, because of the no disqualification stipulation attached to it, it gives a lot of ground for Jack Perry to come in and cost FTR the titles and help Bucks win. Yeah, I think there will be probably some smatterings of CM Punk chance in this one. I think the fact that it's not in Chicago means that they'll get shouted down pretty quickly, or people will start to focus on the match a lot more. if Perry does come out and helps the Young Bucks win, then there'll probably be plenty of CM Punk chance as well. But I think this is, so you can't really go wrong with the Bucks and FTR, the two of the best teams going right now. And I'm sure they have a great ladder match and the Bucks will win the titles.
Jack Perry pushes FTR off the ladders through real glass. what's going to happen.
Who cries a river?
That's just the way I see this going. I could be wrong.
Justin Timberlake.
It's too funny not to do it. I think the Young Bucks have to win here because it's been a while since they've been champions, but also they're clearly making it seem like they're obsessed with being champions, and it gets Jack Perry back in the Elite. It gets, FTR can kind of maybe go away if they need to, whatever Cash has going on. I don't think that's really hindered anything, but something you could do. And then just to go a step further, I think on Wednesday following, we get the debut of the Machine Guns.
As just their next
big
feud challengers for
as in that's
Double or Nothing. Totally down for that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool to have mostly Machine Guns versus the Young Bucks. I think it said that, just doing a bit of a quick Google search, I think Cash Wheeler's trial is set to happen in May.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a bit of a risk to put the title on him now, like a month out from that. You don't want to vacate it again because last time he had to do it because he knew someone was retiring. Too, right?
For their feud, like this would put them at 2 wins apiece?
Yeah.
Okay, even more of a reason.
Yeah, and so that means they could have a fifth and final match at some point just to settle it once and for all. Maybe they could do that as some kind of like dog collar match or 2 out of 3 falls or add some kind of other stipulation to it.
Kind of Iron Man gimmick or something.
Yeah.
It's what's called the kickoff of a best of 7 series when they do the fifth match.
I mean, they might have to do it from a jail cell. If you think so badly. But I think it's like, you can't really go wrong with this one, and it does give a great window for Jack Perry to come into it. We know that he's pretty much finished up with New Japan now. They wouldn't have had him lose to Shota.
And shake his hand.
Shake his hand afterwards, and leave. But he got a really good reaction in that match, so I think I'm hoping that translates to him getting a good reaction. And when I say good reaction, I mean get booed, but that's the reaction that he wants when he comes in. It should be a fun title match. At least we know we're getting one title change.
So that's keeping up the everybody agreeing with the same match. We have 2 more matches left. This, of course, could switch it around. But Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. This is, I'm assuming, the match that you were talking about earlier is like we're most likely going to get a match of the year contender. Because Will Ospreay and Bryan fucking Danielson. So it's like,
I don't know why you say that this would turn around. I mean, Danielson would lose to a broom. I think Ospreay is obviously going to take it here. I think it'll be a great match, though.
I think that it's obviously more of a Will Ospreay win, too. Yeah. Didn't know if it would be like across the board. Everybody just that simple. But I do feel like it is kind of that simple. Just Ospreay continues to win. They continue to have this whole like massive boost for him from the groundswell of him being in the company. And then, they're not doing this match in Wembley, but still, if they want to revisit it in the future, they could. Danielson could just be like, all right, I want another. And people will be like, cool, down for it.
Yeah, I mean, Will's going to get the victory here because, as Rob says, Danielson will lay down for pretty much anybody, especially on his final couple of months with the company. He's already trying to arrange a rematch with Blue Panther on an AEW show, so we'll see whether he gets his wish to do that. It's actually a rare match that he actually won, but then again, the guy that he was facing was like 63 years old, so it would have been a little odd if he'd have lost that one. I'm expecting a lot of great things in this match because the Takeshita and Will Ospreay match was amazing last month, and arguably Danielson is at a higher tier at this point in time, even Takeshita is, and that's saying something because Takeshita's great, but I think it'd be an interesting clash of styles. There's an interesting size difference. Not often that Ospreay goes into a match as the definitively bigger guy in pretty much every area, so I guess the aim of Danielson will be to ground him a lot. There's going to be a lot of hard striking. And yeah, I think we'll see Ospreay do some of the stuff that he doesn't often do, but he'll probably break out a few more traditional submission stuff, because he does do that when he's in a guy who can do technical work like Danielson can. Danielson will do some high flying when he has the opportunity to as well. So they'll mix up each other's styles a little bit, but I think that they're going to put on something pretty special here. So very, very excited for this match.
Yeah, if there's any match on this card that I am going to have my eyes glued to it the most, I'd say, I mean, as much as I think Okada Pac's going to be good and Strong and O'Reilly's going to be good, and the main event I think is going to be good too, and whatever, I'd say number one would be Ospreay Danielson. Number two would probably be the ladder match, which of course we just talked about. But if we all agree on Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland for the world championship, this might be the first time that we ever had an agreement for every single possible match. So let's see. Samoa Joe is defending that championship against Swerve Strickland. And this is, of course, a follow-up to the triple threat match that we just had at Revolution. So Swerve has basically just been continuing his babyface push, and from my perspective at least, being set up to win this match. However, I think that there is a chance that he loses this and it ends up being by proxy of Hangman Page.
Yeah, I mean, there's one of two roads on this one. It's not the case like David Joe wins or Swerve wins. Obviously, that's the play. Yeah. But
it's not two routes in the belt.
Yeah, it's two routes in the way that even Swerve gets the big victory and gets the big celebration by being the first Black AEW World Champion and getting that big baby face pop, and or Hangman Page costs him and that allows Joe to get the victory, and then we're on from the races for an even more heated Swerve and Hammer match. I think it's fully going to depend on if this is the main event or not. So I presume this is the main event, because you could technically, I think they could get away with doing either Danielson or Ospreay or the tag team title match as the main event if they really wanted to. But if this is the bona fide main event, then I don't think they're going to do a screwy finish at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then in which case, Swerve Strickland wins the AEW World Championship.
Unless their philosophy is, oh, the Swerve is so good, not Swerve Strickland, but the big Adam Page thing is so interesting in their minds that they think that that's the angle going forward to be we got to get people talking. But that's kind of more of a WWE thing, or at least I would say more of a WWE thing from the past as well.
I would
typically
love
AEW tends to just do the thing, you know.
I would love an angle where Hangman Page tries to cost Swerve the match and Swerve still wins the title, because then Hangman would go absolutely insane. Because he's I cost him and I screwed him out of it, yes. And then he kicks out of the thing that's where he hits him with the title belt or hits the buckshot and Joe gets a pin and Swerve kicks out, and then he rallies back and wins the match. And just to see, I think almost for the character, you'd have to have Paige legitimately tear his hair out to really emphasize how angry that would make him that he even with his best efforts he couldn't stop Swerve winning the world championship. But I think they could definitely just revisit that feud afterwards with the Hangman coming back after Swerve wins the title and just saying this can't be possible, this can't happen, I need to take that belt away from you as soon as possible. So I mean, yeah, we know that that's the kind of direction that they will likely go in moving forward, but I think Joe's had a good run with the title. I think he's done a good job of steering the ship again, and he's had a successful time with it, but I don't think that he necessarily needs to be a long-term champion.
Rob? You muted and you don't know?
Not that much to say.
He doesn't want to have the same.
Yeah, I had mute on the mixer. Sorry. I think Swerve probably gets the win here, and he should become the first Black World Champion. But I'll go further and say, should that Hangman thing happen, I think we get a double, and I think
Max comes back for Tag Joe. Sorry, what was the thing I was talking over you?
I said I think if
we get Hangman a double, does, and what?
If Hangman does cost Swerve, we end up getting a double, and I think Max comes back for Joe.
So you're thinking more so Double or Nothing is either Joe and MJF for the title, or are you thinking
I think what Rob is trying to say is that if Paige comes out to try and attack and take out Swerve, then MJF will come out and take out Joe, and then Swerve will win the title, and then it'll be MJF and Joe in a regular match.
Just like a feud.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So are you ultimately going for your pick here?
But I'm ultimately going Swerve.
You're going Swerve. Callum?
Oh, yeah, Swerve.
So it's funny because I do think that there's a really good chance that Paige costs Swerve and we get like the, we thought it was all heading that direction and ended up being this big, like, screw you, Hangman Paige type thing. But what trips me up about that and makes me still lean towards Swerve's just winning the title, I don't know who I would go with to fight Samoa Joe at Double or Nothing, unless you were to do something like MJF returning and just trying to fight for the title and all. But that, I feel like it's too complicated to just have that. And then, what is the Undisputed Era going to cost him again? And they're going to do that or something? No, that seems a little weird. I think Joe isn't the first person that MJF goes after when he returns. I think it's the Undisputed Kingdom. So nobody else stands out to me as, like, if Swerve loses and has a match with Paige at Double or Nothing, then blank goes up against Joe. And that makes me lean more towards just go with Swerve. You know, I think that the company is behind him enough, the fans are behind him enough, and that the company could use a big, like, good PR boost after what happened with the All In thing, that it might be like, hey, you can't complain about this. We have a brand new champion. It's a popular babyface. It's the first Black champion. So you can't, like, be down on that without seeming like a real fucking asshole. You know what I mean? And then you go into Double or Nothing with the option that maybe you go with a Joe rematch, or maybe you go with Paige in some side of, like, okay, Swerve's now defending the title against Paige. Or maybe you set up a new one. I don't know. I don't think that they necessarily would set up nobody new in the meantime. But that is going to make us all across the board in agreement for every single one of these matches, which I don't know if it's been done before. That's pretty interesting.
I think AEW shows are, and I think it actually applies to a lot of WWE shows as well nowadays, but the booking is quite predictable for a lot of them. It's like, it makes sense logically that these things would happen in the way they are happening. And don't get me wrong, I like to have, like, a few shocks every now and again, but for the most part, it should always be fairly, well, not always, but should often be fairly clear who's going to win, because otherwise it means that the other result doesn't make sense.
A lot of the time, yeah. Unless it's just like, wow, but these guys are, you know, dead even and either one of them can win, but, you know, when it comes to titles in particular, then it starts to look a little bit weird. But I do think that maybe that we have some shocks that we're in store for that we don't know. That's always, anything can happen in pro wrestling. But I think this could be just a very by-the-books sort of pay-per-view. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either, you know. I've always said before that I'd rather take predictable and good over a big shock that makes no sense. So if you give me these matches and they're good and you don't fill it up with too much other crap and it ends up just like having a good flow to the pay-per-view and the people who win end up making me more interested to see where we go for the next episode of Dynamite and all, that's all I could ask for. So I think this is going to be a solid thumbs up. I don't think it's necessarily going to be like we said before, like a big game-changing thing, but even if they just crown a new champion. Who knows? That could be a big game-changing thing, too. So, lots of positives that we are looking forward to here. And naturally, if they do change anything, we'll talk about that when it comes to the hot tags and all. Anything else you guys want to write down for this card? I think that covers pretty much everything, right?
I think that covers everything pretty smoothly.
Yeah, don't really have that much else to add to it. Hopefully, it'll be a good show.
Cool. So, of course, if you listening want to join us in for the live post show, we'll be doing that immediately following the pay-per-view on this weekend. Sunday, right? The pay-per-view Sunday.
Yes. No.
Okay, yeah. Yes. WWE tends to be more Saturdays, and AEW tends to be more Sundays lately. So Sunday night, we'll see how this all plays out. Naturally, next week as well, we've got the whole situation with our WWE draft and our fantasy league draft, and then we're right back around again to another pay-per-view point with the Backlash prediction. So yeah, if you can't get enough of the pay-per-view talk, you got this one this week after the past week, got another one coming up in 2 weeks and all. But AEW in the sights right now, so drop us your comments. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure that you check out the Discord. Check out all this marketplace stuff I mentioned. Go to fanboysanonymous.com for everything that's happening over there. Go to the link tree and mangotree.com or anthonymango.com. Like and follow all those different kinds of accounts that you can see there. Especially if you just type out Tony Mango all over the place, you'll probably see plenty of different accounts and you can follow all of them. Hit me up on those. Make sure you're following Robin Kellum.
Yep, follow me everywhere, Dude Felice. Check out Fightful.com. They're going to have a bunch of great stuff this week. And with TNA and AEW and all the other AEW programs, because wrestling is eternal. And yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. But check out what Callum has going on.
So you can follow me on Twitter at WeMost14. You can check out the Power Rankings every week over on SmartConMode.com. We're just on the first edition for the current season we're on, so 2024-2025, following WrestleMania. So you can see where everyone is positioned following WrestleMania itself. And then you can also, not at the moment, check out the Fantasy League, but you will soon be able to check out the Fantasy League because we will be restarting with the new season. It's going to be a fresh draft, fresh new people for us to add to our teams, and then we'll see who ends up walking away with the victory at WrestleMania next year.
Okie dokie, everybody, you know the score. Stay tuned, subscribe, and we will see you next time with the hot tags. This is probably the next thing that we're going to be recording. So, adios for now. But this has been another Smart Count moment, and we are being counted out.